You're heading into the great outdoors this summer. What are you bringing for food? My last camping trip was to the Black Hills of South Dakota. We brought a bunch of pre-processed bags of dehydrated food. We just had to add the boiling water. And we got bored of those bags after our first day in the forest. Well, it's Food Friday here on Central Time, and today we're taking our outdoor meals to the next level. Whether you're backpacking through the North Woods or pitching a tent in your own backyard, our next guest is here to show us how to make gourmet food from the kitchen to the campsite or the cabin. Wherever you're going this summer, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Your favorite meals to make outside. How do you approach your camping meal plans? And do you prep your dishes ahead of time or make everything right over the fire? A little bit of both, perhaps. 1-800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Our guest is Chris Nuttall-Smith. He is a food writer, a critic, and a judge on the cooking show Top Chef Canada. His new cookbook is called Cook It Wild, sensational prep-ahead meals for camping, cabins, and the great outdoors. Chris, welcome to Central Time.
It's so nice to be here with you, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I understand you just got back yourself from camping this week. How was it? Where'd you go?
Well, I got 2 hours eastward on the highway before I turned around. I was stopped by smoke, believe it or not. So I'm a little disappointed, but my wife and I we're gonna give it another go next week.
Oh yeah, I did not think of that. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear
neither
that.
Neither did I. I felt pretty dumb after driving 2 hours, but it wasn't great.
I understand when you get that itch and you just want to go. So and I also understand from Cook It Wild that you probably had prepped some meals to take with you. What did you have planned to eat on your trip, Chris?
I had some good food in my cooler. So I was meeting a friend for a fishing trip. I had a mix of really good lunches. There's a grilled ham and cheese sandwich that you prep ahead. You just put it in a pan or on a grill, whatever you want. It's called bikini sandwiches. They're from Spain. I had some really, really good buttermilk and corn flapjacks, which I love. And you put scallions in them. There's a bit of, you just add a bit of frozen corn if you have it. And they're just sweet and savory and crunchy. I had a bunch of good stuff. Anyway, it went back into the fridge, into the freezer. It's going to hold. It's going to be just fine. So I'm disappointed. More than anything, I'm just jonesing to get outside. It's that time of year.
Well, as I was coming to work today, my neighbor was leaving for the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. And I was like, boy, have I got the book for you. If he had planned ahead. And by the way, the flapjacks I had on my list were the chickpea flapjacks from your book, Cook It Wild. So
oh, yeah.
There's a couple of variations there. But a lot of this has to do with the planning that you go ahead and do well before the camping. And that's perfect for me because when I've got like a vacation or camping on my schedule, weeks before that happens, I begin plotting and scheming and planning just as a mental escape from, you know, vacation before the vacation. And you've got in your book 5 keys to these camping this camping fare. Take us through them, Chris. That all has to do with being ahead.
It's all about getting ahead. So this is a prep ahead, make ahead book. Almost all the recipes you do ahead of time. And that doesn't mean you need to spend hours and hours or days prepping them. A lot of the recipes take 10 minutes at your kitchen counter. Some of them are more involved, but you know, you really pick. But those 5 keys to prepping at home, chop ahead. Anything you can cut up, whether it's vegetables, whether that means taking the bones out of meat, whatever, do it at home. And it saves you time. You're not balancing a cutting board on your lap as you're sitting around a fire trying to relax. It works. Mix ahead, whether that's spice blends for grilling, whether you're making, you know, dry mixes for these flapjacks I mentioned. If you got a great cheese, grate it at home. You don't need to bring a grater and a whole block of cheese. It also lets you measure things in advance. Cook ahead if there's anything that you can cook down. So I have a paella recipe. It's kind of one of the showstoppiest recipes in the book. And, you know, when you make paella, you cut up onions and all sorts of stuff. Well, I put those in my food processor. It takes about 3 minutes to chop them. And then I cook them at home and I put them in a bag and I stick them in the freezer. So when you get to camp, most of your work is already done. Steal ahead. What that means is, you know, if you want to, you know, something, if you want to bring something that comes in a, you know, a big bag from the supermarket, or, you know, transfer it, measure out how much you need and bring just that. You can put them in little plastic containers and resealable bags. If you have a backpacker, you can backpack whatever you want. And that applies to wine and drinks as well. You can't bring glass bottles to a lot of camping areas. And the other thing is, if you pour, wine, whatever you want to drink, into soda bottles, for instance, you can freeze them. And so they help keep your cooler cold. And who doesn't like slushy wine? There's a bunch of little tips and tricks they apply to all the recipes in the book, and there's things that people can use before they're going camping, whether that they're cooking straight out of the book or whether they're doing their own recipes.
Sure. Chris Nuttall-Smith, our guest, and his book for Our Food Friday is Cook It Wild, and we're taking a look at how you can prep ahead to take gourmet meals with you wherever you're going this season. And when it comes to freezing ahead, I took a look at what you do with your cooler, and it made me think of Tetris, Chris.
It's not that hard, I promise. It's funny. A lot of the cooler companies, have done a lot of educating people. So many people now have these hugely expensive coolers, and I spent years on the sidelines thinking, "Oh my, are they worth it? Are they worth it?" Well, if you have the means, or you can borrow one from friends, they do work really well. That does not mean you need one. But yeah, I lay out in the book how to pack a cooler, no matter what kind of cooler you have. Your cooler should start cold. If it's been sitting in a hot garage and you put ice in it, your ice is going to start to melt. And then, yeah, you put block ice on the bottom if you can. Any of your food that you can freeze ahead, freeze it. It acts like ice. And then, there's some basic things like anything you're going to need on day one, your lunch on the first day, that should go right at the top of the cooler so you don't have to dig around for it. If you have a bottle of something, stand it up. They're easier to find that way. So there's a bunch of tricks like that. And then, one of the simplest ones is if you have a beach towel and you have a little extra space at the top of your cooler, put that beach towel at the top of your cooler under the lid. It fills the space. It keeps hot air from getting in. It keeps your food colder longer.
It sounds like Tetris, Chris.
Okay, fine. It's Tetris. Well, that's a fun game.
Well, here, and the other thing. Okay, this is something I did not think of when it comes to camping, but dairy and eggs. And you have a way of keeping dairy and eggs so that you can take it with you and use them for your meals from dinner to breakfast and snacks in between.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what kind of dairy, I run through the options, if it's kind of a long haul backpacking trip. And Cook It Wild, by the way, is not just for car campers. A lot of the better kind of camp cookbooks are for car campers. But if you're backpacking or you're paddling, you're out of luck. Cook It Wild is for every kind of camper. So if you're going on a long backpacking trip, maybe you're bringing dehydrated milk. But I bring people through the different options. You can freeze milk and cream if you've got room, just give them a shake when they thaw. I also, in the way of dairy, cheeses. I tell people what cheeses are great to bring that you don't need to refrigerate. I think maybe in Wisconsin, I think it's probably people have a better understanding of cheese, but in much of Canada where I live, and I know in much of the US, people think if you leave a piece of cheese out on the counter for 5 minutes and you even look at it, you're gonna die. It's just reminding people a lot of cheese making is a food storage technique. So telling people these are the great cheeses you can bring, including some cheddars, including, Parmesan and Manchego and a lot of soft cheeses as well. And, they'll keep in your pack for 5, 7 days plus. So yeah, dairy and eggs, one of the tricks to eggs, there's just a decadent, I think it's the best French toast anybody will ever eat. In the book, and you think, well, how do you make French toast camping? I don't want to bring cream and eggs and all that. You don't. You make it at your counter. It takes 6 minutes at home. You whisk cream, eggs, maybe some orange zest, little sugar, little salt. You put them in a little plastic bottle like a Nalgene, and you freeze it. So you get to camp. You thaw out your batter. It usually just thaws out naturally in a day, but you can thaw it out if you want. You put it on your bread, and you have this decadent French toast that you didn't have to do almost anything for.
When we were getting ready for this interview, Chris, I thought that French toast recipe looks really good. We'd love to share it with our audience. But then I thought it is so simple that it's not worth actually posting, because once you put it together, you spend a few minutes of prep at home and then a few minutes on the grill or at the campfire. You've got French toast. And I was like,
this is the trick of the book. I mean, so much of what's in the book, once you understand, just that little trick, just make your batter home and freeze it. It's intuitive. It makes so much sense.
Why now, didn't I think of this?
Really, and as I was researching, little things like you want to bring feta cheese, a great cheese, whether you're making chilaquiles or whatever. But feta cheese, you got to pack it in brine. No, you don't. Freeze it. Take it out of the brine and freeze it. You want to bring some black beans or any kind of beans out of a can, empty them into a zip top bag, freeze it. They store beautifully. They're so much easier to bring. So there's little tricks like that all through the book that you realize, oh yeah, this is really going to change what I'm able to eat, what I'm able to serve my friends and family, and you know how delicious a trip is going to be. And it's not dehydrated, you know, survivalist food.
Yeah, the book is Cook It Wild, Sensational Prep-Ahead Meals for Camping, Cabins, and the Great Outdoors. Our guest, Chris Nuttall-Smith, joining us. He is a judge on Top Chef Canada. And we're also looking for your suggestions, your go-tos at the campsite. What do you enjoy cooking? And do you do some prep before you leave? 1-800-642-1234 to join our Food Friday conversation today. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can also post on our Ideas Network Facebook page. Now, it's not like we didn't have recipes to put on the website today, and you can find those from Chris's book at wpr.org/foodfriday. He mentioned the campfire paella, and we'll go over that next, as well as his go-to granola, and it's something you know you can buy and pay too much for, or you can make it home and enjoy while you're outdoors this summer. Also, again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. We'll continue our Food Friday conversation with Chris Nuttall-Smith and maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up our talk with Chris Nuttall-Smith, a judge on the cooking show Top Chef Canada, food writer, and his new cookbook is Cook It Wild, Sensational Prep-Ahead Meals for Camping, Cabins, and the Great Outdoors. I invite you to join us on our Facebook page, Ideas Network Facebook page, or call 1-800-642-1234. And let's get to this campfire paella that you mentioned earlier, Chris. The recipe can be found online at wpr.org/foodfriday. This really elevates our campsite cooking, but you got to do some work ahead of time in order to take it there.
Yeah, there's a bit of prep. That's what makes it doable. I mean, the fascinating thing, two really interesting things about this recipe to me. First of all, this is the recipe that turned me on to make ahead, prep ahead cooking. Huh. I've been a food writer forever, but like a lot of people, I always thought, you know, good eating and being outdoors don't really go together. I had a friend who I went camping with. She's an accomplished indoors person. She is not a camper, but she brought this. She had prepped it ahead. She made it over the fire. It took about 25 minutes, and it was one of the best meals I've ever had in the outdoors. But the other thing to know about paella is it started off as this humble laborer's meal in the rice fields in Spain, and people would cook it at lunchtime over a fire, often in the blade of a metal shovel. So I think in a lot of people's imaginations, it's this very complicated, you know, fancified meal. It doesn't have to be that. So the recipe I have, you know, you chop up your vegetables, you know, onions, peppers, you know, garlic, just in a food processor. You can do it with a knife if you want at home, and you cook them down in olive oil. You add some Spanish paprika, you know, some tomatoes and so on, and you cook that down, and then you pack it up and you freeze it. And when you get to camp, you have a little bag of your rice, which is already measured out. You know, you've got your saffron and your salt measured out in there. And there's three variations. The one I make, and this is to me, so this friend of mine brought what I call a block of frozen squid, which to me, is, especially at the time, was one of the all-time dumbest things I'd ever seen someone bring camping. My eyes just bugged out when she told me she had that. But what she had was a zip-top bag with, you know, squid that had been chopped up, and she threw it in the pan over the fire with some olive oil. No fuss, no muss. And, you know, she added a few shrimp, same thing. They'd been frozen. They were easy to bring in. You know, added those vegetables and the rice, and we got this smoky, crackly crusted, just decadent paella. And I just remember eating under the stars that evening and looking around. We've all got campfires glowing on our faces and just thinking, like, I can't believe this is camping.
And there are variations in your book as well. So if squid frozen, a block of frozen squid is not your thing for a camping trip, you'll find variations in cooking.
There's one with chickpeas. There's one with chicken and artichokes too. So there's easier, simpler versions. But yeah, I mean, if you got an RV or a car or you're an ambitious paddler, I highly recommend the seafood one too.
All right. It's your turn now to join us for Food Friday at 1-800-642-1234, where Mike in Wauwatosa is standing by. Mike, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you have for us today?
Seafood. I tried aluminum foil on fish, whatever type of fish you want, and it doesn't seem to work. And when you put shrimp on it or shish kebabs, they just fall in the grill and it's a mess.
You sound defeated, Mike. Let's see if we can.
Yeah, that's hard.
Let's see if we can't get Chris to help here with some seafood and some shrimp at the campsite on the fire. Chris, what do you do?
Sure. I guess the question is, was the issue that it fell out of the foil? It just, the foil wasn't holding, or was it something about the taste of the seafood that didn't work?
It didn't cook correctly.
Okay. Well, what I recommend, so I break down in the book how to make foil packets so they work. Often it comes down to the foil you're using, really, and the heavy duty stuff, which is thicker, that's wider. I use a double layer of that. You always need to have, you know, your vegetable or protein, that's your seafood. You need to have some kind of fat in there, whether it's butter or olive oil, and, you know, some seasonings like salt and so on. If you get those three elements in there and you pack them up right, it usually works. But I'm sorry it didn't work out for you. It's that's one of the great standby camping meals. So I'm frustrated on your behalf. Heavy duty foil, though, bit of fat in there to, you know, give the seafood some moisture and something to cook in. And don't forget the salt and seasonings, and you're off to the races.
Let's go next to Megan in Green Bay. Megan, good afternoon. You're on the air with Chris Nuttall-Smith.
Hi, I have a very simple recipe to share. I'm enjoying listening to the program and learning about all these fancy things, but I love ramen noodles, peanut butter, and soy sauce.
Oh,
I love it.
Well,
I love it.
Yeah, because there is a whole ramen section in your book, Mike. So, but I do not recall the peanut butter soy sauce combo.
I'm just imagining it. So you've almost got like a Southeast Asian like peanut element there, and the soy sauce is adding the salt. To be honest, that sounds pretty delicious. Ramen is such a great versatile, excuse me, camping meal. And, you know, not every meal you have to have, you know, in the outdoors has to be fancy. I love that you mix it up. That's something I put in the book as well. Just different things you can do with ramen to gussy it up a little bit. I love that you've gone there. It sounds delicious.
And Megan, I would also, if you could, bring a lime with you and add a little lime to that as well for a little citrus in the ramen.
You're talking my language, Lee.
Chris Nuttall-Smith, I love our guest for our Food Friday, his book, Cook It Wild, How You Can Prep Ahead Your Meals for Camping, Cabins, and the Great Outdoors. Let's talk about the other recipe that we've got available for online at WPR.org/Food Friday, and that's your go-to granola recipe. Now, usually I'll spend a lot of money on the expensive store-bought, easy, ready-to-go granola, but might be a little stale, and it's certainly not my own. You make it your own, Chris.
I make my own granola, and listen, granola, as you have noted, the good stuff is so pricey. But the thing about granola, when you make it yourself, it's less expensive, and you can also put such good food in there. Great seeds, nuts, tons of flavor. What I do with my granola is I just break it down into a ratio that makes sense, that you're not going to screw up. So 3 parts rolled oats, 1 part seeds, 1 part half and half fat, and some kind of sweetener, whether that's olive oil and maple syrup or whatever you want to use. And then some nuts and some fruit or whatever. Anyway, I break down the ratio. I tell people how to do it so it's foolproof. And it's just such a great way to start your day when you're out there. There's lots of energy and protein. And I eat it as a trail snack, too. One of my secret ingredients that I love is dried sour cherries.
Well, we've got those in Wisconsin. We can do that here.
Sour cherries are one of the most underrated fruits there is.
Perfect. We've got a Facebook comment from Mark who says he's fond of taking a baking chicken in a Dutch oven loaded with carrots, leeks, onions, and more, baking it for about 2.5 hours on low heat, and he uses it as a soup base. And you use your Dutch oven in any number of ways. You've got sticky rolls in there, you've got Dutch babies in there. That Dutch oven seems to go a long way out in the great outdoors, Chris.
They're fantastic. I really love mine. So some people have the heavier cast iron ones. I have a cast aluminum one, so I bring it on canoe trips where there's a lot of portaging even. They are versatile. They're great pots. They're a little heavier, but if you're camping in a group, you can, break up, who's carrying what. And, I make a dry, just a chocolate cake mix. You make it at home. All you have to add is melted butter. Well, butter lasts forever if it's salted, and water. And you can make the most spectacular chocolate cake out in the wild. It's one of my favorite party tricks. People's eyes just always kind of jump out of their head when they see it.
Is that
And
the backwoods birthday cake in your book?
That's the backwoods birthday cake for an excitable child, it's called. So, if you're turning it into a birthday cake, you bring some sparklers, maybe you're bringing some decorations, but even just for grown-ups, it's just this decadent, moist chocolate cake that you're literally making in the campfire.
We don't need kids for that chocolate cake. We
No,
can
you
do it as
do not.
adults.
Send the kids off to collect firewood while you eat it. There's not enough for them.
As we wrap up here, Chris, if we're going to be camping for more than just a couple of days, what tips do you have for keeping things crispy, keeping things fresh on a longer camping trip?
It really comes down to eating your fresh food, the stuff that's perishable at the beginning. There are so many, mixes you can make, things you can make that will last without refrigeration. And listen, vegetables. I have a wife who loves cruciferous vegetables, cabbage in particular. So she will smuggle a quarter head of green cabbage in the bottom of my food bag. I carry it for days. And then you reach, oh my, what is this thing at the bottom? So, there's just a very simple dressing. It's made with a bit of miso and sesame and some vinegar. And that will last without refrigeration for a month. So you clean up that cabbage, you add a little bit of this dressing, and you've got such a nice, crunchy, fresh thing to eat. But carrots are great. Granny Smith apples last. Don't ever underestimate how much people want some freshness and some crunch when they're a few days out in the woods.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Lee.
Chris Nuttall-Smith for our Food Friday to talk about his new cookbook, Cook It Wild, sensational prep-ahead meals for camping, cabins, and the great outdoors. Don't forget those recipes that you can find online at WPR.org/Food Friday.